Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, as we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel according to Luke, and where we find this parable, this short story used to illustrate a spiritual lesson as told by our Lord. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. And Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to our God once again in prayer. We give you thanks, gracious Spirit, for leading Luke to write down these precious and saving words of our Lord. And we pray that as we look into them, that your will might be done in our lives, that you, Holy Spirit, will fill our hearts in a powerful way, that you will kindle in us the fire of your love, and that by your love you will direct and rule our hearts in all things, that you will empower us as your people for witness and ministry, and that especially today, as we consider this parable, you will increase in us your gifts and your fruit. To the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as I've mentioned before, in my first pastorate in Newberry, South Carolina, we lived in a manse, a parsonage, just beside the church. And behind the manse in our backyard was a large fig tree. And every year in late August or early September, it would produce big, beautiful figs. The first year we were there, we'd only been there a few weeks. I'd just been ordained and installed a few weeks before, and the figs were in full bloom. They were beautiful. And we started to notice people from the town, older people mainly, coming into our backyard and gathering figs. And we were later told that that most of them had been doing this since they were children. It was an annual ritual, a pilgrimage, if you will, to this fruitful fig tree, to the delight of those who enjoyed the figs, and to the delight now of those who watched them pick the figs from the man, from inside the man. So we love to watch them do it. Well, as we read this morning, the fig tree in Jesus' parable wasn't fruitful like that. It wasn't producing that kind of delicious, enjoyable fruit. The owner was frustrated. The gardener asked for patience. He believed the fig tree had potential. "Just give me one more year to work with it," he requested. And as we read, the request was granted. Or so Jesus leaves us with that understanding. Let's explore this parable this morning and how it applies to us under two main points. First, the parable of the barren fig tree, and then in the second place, 3 points of application for us today. First, the parable of the barren fig tree. The word parable literally means something like to place alongside. So in his parables, his earthly stories with heavenly meaning, as they are sometimes called, Jesus would place an earthly thing alongside a heavenly thing. The earthly thing would always be spoken of very clearly, very clearly described or illustrated. The heavenly thing would sometimes be spoken of, but sometimes, as in this case, it would be implied. So in this case, the earthly thing was a fig tree. And the heavenly thing, or spiritual thing, was the spiritual condition of ancient Israel. And by way of broader application, the spiritual condition of each and every human being. In the Old Testament, fig trees, like vineyards, were used as a metaphor for ancient Israel, the covenant people of God. If the fig tree or vineyard bore good fruits, that symbolized Israel bearing good spiritual fruit in their relationship with God. It pictured Israel being faithful to God and being faithful to their calling to be a light to the nations. If the fig tree or vineyard bore no fruit or bad fruit, we heard about the vineyard in Isaiah 5, bearing wild grapes, or sometimes translated sour grapes or bitter grapes, bad grapes, grapes you don't want to eat. That pictured Israel being unfaithful to God and failing to be a light to the nations. A full fig tree signaled God's blessing. A barren fig tree signaled God's displeasure, his coming judgment. When Israel was unfaithful and unfruitful, however, something could be done about it. Something could be done to avoid the chastening hand of God. Namely, Israel could repent. And that is where this parable this morning connects with Jesus' words, which we considered last Sunday from the first five verses of Luke chapter 13. When Jesus is calling Israel to repent, ultimately repent of self-righteousness, of trusting in oneself for salvation, and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. So it was for ancient Israel in the Old Testament. The cure for their fruitlessness was to turn away from their self-righteousness and return to the God who had made them, the God who had planted them and nourished them, the God who had in seasons past caused them to bear fruit and experience blessing as they sought His face. Thus our hymn of preparation this morning from Psalm 80. Return, God of hosts, O return unto thine, look down from heaven and visit this vine. Or maybe working from our parable this morning, we could say, return, God of hosts, return unto me, look down from heaven and bless this fig tree. Revive us. Revive us, restore to thy grace, thy favor, thy felt favor and presence and blessing. And then we shall live in the light of thy face. No better place to live than in the light of God's face. And that Aaronic benediction, the benediction of Aaron, the countenance of God, the light of his face shining down upon us, the smile of God, the pleasure of God that is ours, we would say now as new covenant believers, that which is ours, that blessing which is ours in Christ, because Jesus went through the darkness of Calvary, when, as we sometimes sing, the Father turned his face away. Jesus didn't feel the pleasure of God. He felt the displeasure of God because he took our sins upon himself on the cross. Why did he do it? So that we could only ever experience by faith in Jesus the pleasure of God, the light of his face. And so it was, even before Christ came, there was a cure for Israel's spiritual barrenness, and that was reconnecting to God through repentance and faith and prayer. Asking God to cultivate his people by his grace so that the barrenness would be replaced with fruit. And that was the request that the vine dresser in Jesus' parable made to the owner. The owner, as we read, was frustrated that the fig tree wasn't producing any figs, so he told the vine dresser to cut it down. But the vine dresser made a bold move. Remember, this was not a meeting of equals here, of having a brainstorming session. This was not a committee, okay? This was the owner and his hired servant. The master and his hired servant. This is the owner and the steward, the gardener, the vine dresser. The owner says, cut it down. The vine dresser makes a bold move. He asks for one more year. Give me one more year to work with it. And then, if it doesn't bear fruit, you can cut it down. Specifically in verse 8, he asks for more time to dig around it and put on manure. It's quite an image. We'll come back to it. The NIV is less graphic. It says, I'll dig around it and fertilize it. Kind of, you know, sanitizes it a little bit. The King James, as usual, holds nothing back and says, I shall dig about it and dung it. Did you know that dung can be a verb? I shall dig around it and dung it. But note that Jesus doesn't actually tell us what happens. Doesn't tell us what happened the next year. The rest of the story is left in our hands. Kind of like the choose your own adventure stories when you're growing up. It's kind of up to you where you're going to go in light of this parable. And the way Jesus ends it. Will we repent and trust in Jesus so that we bear good fruit in our lives? Or will we remain disconnected from Jesus through self-righteous unbelief so that we are cut off from God forever? That's the question that each human being must answer as Jesus leaves it in your hands, as it were, to answer that question regarding yourself. And that takes us to our second main point, namely 3 points of application. First, if you are not a believer in Jesus, if you're worshiping with us online, or you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer in Jesus, this parable is a call to repent of your sin, repent of your self-righteousness, and place your faith in Jesus. In that sense, it is a parable illustrating the passage we considered last week. Turn away from self-righteousness and turn to Jesus, that you may begin a new, abundant, fruitful, eternal life in him. Call upon him today. Receive him as your Savior by faith and enter into this new life of knowing him and being connected to him and being adopted into God's family, a life of true peace and true joy and true abundance in him. Second, as a believer in Jesus, ask Jesus to fill your life with his Holy Spirit. to grant you more fruit in your life. What is the fruit that Jesus produces? What are the figs, as it were, these big, beautiful figs that are meant for other people to enjoy in your life? Well, of course, St. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in your life, that the Holy Spirit reproduces in your life. In other words, what He's reproducing in your life is Christ's own character, Christ's human holiness, Christ's love for God and love for others. The Holy Spirit is reproducing that in your life for other people to enjoy, to bless other people and bring glory to God. So we should ask the Holy Spirit, help me become more loving. Help me to become more grateful and rejoicing in your love. Help me to experience your peace. Help me to replace fear with faith and really have your peace in my life. Help me be more patient with others. These are the things that the Holy Spirit loves to do in our lives. And guess what? The other people in your life love when the Holy Spirit does that in your life too. Ask the Holy Spirit. Remember from Luke 11 and verse 13 what Jesus promised us? He said to the men standing around Him, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So when we ask for the Holy Spirit in genuine faith and genuine repentance, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives, in these areas of our lives. And third, ask God to help you show patience with others just as He has shown patience with you. This parable highlights the patience of God. He gives more time for repentance and faith. At some point, that time comes to an end. It is appointed for us to die once, and after that comes judgment, says Hebrews 9:27. But this parable reminds us of the patience of God, that He gives us far more time than we deserve. He shows us His love and grace through the gospel and the kindness of others. I mean, that's how He got into my heart, was through His gospel and the kindness of those who were sharing it with me. So we should seek to show that kind of kindness and patience to others as we reach out to them with the gospel. This may be our children. This may be our siblings. This may be other family members. This may be co-workers. This may be neighbors. Whomever it is. We have to ask the Lord, help us to be patient with this person rather than cutting them off, saying there's no hope. We have to ask for God's patience. As Paul put it in Ephesians 5:1, he said, be imitators of God as beloved children. So we ask, Lord, help me imitate You in Your patience with other people, Your grace, Your tenderness. So, who are you praying for as a vine dresser, as the vine dresser asks the owner of the vineyard? Who are you praying for like that? Saying, when he said, sir, let it alone until I dig around it and put on manure. I told you that's an interesting image as we think about ministering to others. But strange images stick with it. So let's go with it a minute. On whom are you, around whom are you digging? And on whom are you putting the manure, the nourishment, the fertilizer? You're being intentional about this. You're being systematic, if you will. You're being consistent. You're persevering in seeking to nourish this person, nurture this person. Be a gardener in this person's life, planting and cultivating and watering, knowing that God gives the growth. Who are you seeking to nourish in that way with the love, grace, and good news that Jesus gives? For whom are you praying? Lord, continue to be patient. Give me more time and more opportunities to love this person, to win this person, as St. Paul put it, to win them to Jesus. Lord, use my humble efforts to do what only you can do and give them new life, fruitful life. Commenting on this parable, William Hendrickson told the story of how when he and his wife moved to Boca Raton, Florida, and they planted a small tangelo tree in their backyard. And shortly after they had planted it, everybody was telling them, that thing's dead. You need to just uproot it and plant something else in its place. But they said, we wouldn't think of doing it. They thought they wanted to nurture this thing. So they did basically what the non-Christian in the parable did. They cultivated the soil. They fertilized it. And he said, over time, it grew and started to bear fruit. And he wrote in his commentary, obviously when he wrote it, he said, in fact, this past fall we picked no less than 400 large, delicious tangelos from that tree. Friends, may we be spiritual gardeners like that. May we believe that God can work in people like that and not give up on them, but persevere in praying for them, loving them, showing them the kindness of Christ, inviting them to church. Remember our Epiphany Challenge? Inviting them to other events here, but loving them, sharing the good news that God loves them and sent His Son into the world. And He gave His life for them, that they might have life in Jesus. May we persevere. And may we envision, may we dream. So you want to envision what this person who doesn't now know Christ, what would be the amazing fruit that they might bear in their life if they came to know Jesus? What would their life look like? Think about it. Envision it. And then labor lovingly and graciously in your relationship with them, trusting God to give life and growth and fruitfulness in their life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.